Hello, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Putting and the Gutter. My name is Joe Ambrose. I'll be your host. And today we're going to be talking about bowling. NCAA bowling championships are being held starting tomorrow, April 4th, And they will be going on through the weekend. And then I'm going to discuss a little bit of my frustration that bowling is not an Olympic sport. But first, we'll go for NCAA bowling and go over all the teams that have an opportunity, really, to win the national championship for 2024, which is a really exciting time for these schools. They were all selected on a selection show last week, and tomorrow starts the play-in matches. So NCAA.com is your place to go if you want to watch any of these from your home or if you can, you know, manage to watch it at work. Possibly the schools that are involved, their websites might have something available as well or a link. But NCAA.com will cover everything, and that's your place to really see the entire championships, which should be great. And then the finals will be on ESPN once we get down to the last two teams. So first we're going to start with the four sites that are going to host basically four teams each, and one team out of each of these four sites is going to go to nationals for the final four, which will be next week. So we're going to start in Pittsburgh, which is the first site. The first match will be Jacksonville State, which is the number one team in the country, is going to play Mercyhurst, who won the East Coast Conference championship, and that's how they qualified to be there. The other match is going to be Duquesne against Maryland Eastern Shore. Duquesne got in an at-large bid, didn't win the NEC, but have been a top-ranked team all season. Maryland Eastern Shore won the MEAC conference, and that's how they got in. You got four really solid teams here. It's kind of a home match for Duquesne and Mercyhurst, so that not as much travel, but it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. Let me explain the format real quick. The matches are what they call mega matches. The first part of the match is a traditional 5-on-5 total pins wins match, and the team that would win that would get a point. The second match is a 5-game Baker, which is, I've explained the Baker format. You use five players, and each player throws two frames per game to make your game score, and then you add the 5-game scores together, and again, total pins would win. If those two matches are tied, then they would go to a best of seven to break the tie. And then, obviously, the winner would go to the winner's bracket, the loser to the loser's bracket. It's a double elimination. And because of the potential length of the mega matches, which can be up to 2.5-3 hours, the NCAA rules dictate they can only play 2 mega matches in a day for student-athletes. So it'll be really cool to see. And that is the Pittsburgh bracket for the first regional. The next one we'll go is in Arlington, Texas. And in Arlington, there will be a play-in match actually tomorrow on April 4th between Alabama State and Belmont Abbey. They're both conference winners that have to play in for the chance to play North Carolina A&T, who got an at-large bid and are basically the number 4 overall seed with the teams that were selected. The other match in Arlington is Louisiana Tech and Sam Houston. Both got at-large bids. Both are really, really solid teams. And this would be a great one to watch as well. So we'll see what happens with that. The next regional will be in Rochester, New York. The number one seed there, or number 2 overall, will be Arkansas State. They're going to play the winner of a play-in match on April 4th between William Smith College and Fayetteville State, who won the CIAA conference. Then the other match in that bracket in Rochester will be Vanderbilt and Merrimack. Merrimack won the Northeast Conference to qualify. Vanderbilt, another high-ranked top 10 team all season long, got an at-large bid. That's going to be a brutal bracket to come out of, and teams are really going to have to play well to get out of there. So that'll be great matches to watch also. The final bracket will be in Lansing, Michigan. And there you will have Youngstown State, the number 3 overall seed, against Marion from Wisconsin. And the other bracket will be Nebraska against Maryville from Missouri. All these teams, again, are very good, very solid. A lot is going to depend on the lane patterns at these events, the lane surface that are there, and how the teams play overall. And it's really cool to watch. So like I said, NCAA.com is really where you need to go to see this. I've coached a team at Nationals. They're really well done. And it's a really cool way to determine our national champion. So I'll definitely be watching the next couple of days, April 4th, 5th, and 6th, to see who our final four teams are going to be to compete for a national championship. So good luck to everybody that are at these four sites. The next thing I want to discuss is something that's bothered me for a long time. As most of you know, golf became an Olympic sport a few years ago, and it was about time. I mean, it took forever for that to occur. Bowling, for some reason, has never gotten the love from the Olympic Committee and has only been a demonstrator sport once in 1988 in South Korea. And for some reason has never made the final cut to be an Olympic sport. And I really don't understand why. Over 100 million people worldwide bowl at some point, either recreationally or competitively or on the professional tours. There's so much participation in this sport worldwide, and I just never understood why we weren't recognized in the Olympics. But I will tell you the Olympic Committee's five main reasons for not having bowling as an Olympic sport. So see if what you think of this. The number one reason is it says there's a lack of appeal to younger demographics from bowling because mostly older people bowl. Well, isn't that true for golf or pickleball? I mean, we might see pickleball as an Olympic sport probably quicker than bowling, which is crazy, but that's just a nutsy statement to me that they actually think that bowling is a sport and anybody that plays it knows it. And that's just crazy. The number two reason they say is unequal playing conditions. Now, what they mean by that is that the lanes are dressed with oil or conditioner. And even though the lane distance is the same, 60 feet, any time that you play the sport, the pattern of oil and where it is on the lane is different every time you go somewhere. And the surfaces are different because you have wood and synthetic and different types of it. So I get what they're saying there, but isn't golf the same thing? Courses are different. The weather is different every day. So I really just don't get that as an excuse. The third reason is unsuccessful voting on the IOC. So apparently people who have been on the boards for the IOC haven't felt that bowling needs to be an Olympic sport. Again, I don't agree with that, but I'm just going through the reasons. It's never been on the final shortlist. It was shortlisted in 2020 for the Tokyo Games, and it didn't make the final selection. It was considered among eight others, but ultimately didn't make it. And it's another hurdle for us to be on the Olympic list of sports. And probably the biggest reason, and I don't even understand why it's not on air, is it's not in the Paralympics. Almost all the sports that are in the Paralympics are in the Olympics themselves. So that's something that hopefully myself and some other people can work on through the years and try to get this corrected. So we can try to make bowling an Olympic sport. I really think it should be. I think it would be good for the growth of the sport And I just don't understand why the Olympic Committee wouldn't recognize a sport that's played by hundreds of millions of people throughout the world and be able to watch it. Some of the sports that we do watch, and I don't want to single anything out because we all know what they are, but some of these sports we only see in the Olympics. Bowling we see everywhere. And I I can't even tell you how many people I know that actually bowl, and people come up to me every day at my job, and I work at a golf country club, and I still get questions about bowling because people know that I do that. So it's hopefully we can put some things together and try to maybe through social media and other avenues try to help the USBC and others that have been trying to get bowling in the Olympics. So that's something that needs to change, in my opinion. I'm going to leave everything alone for the rest of this. And if you want to make any comments, please do so to my email, joeambrose@pga.com. I certainly appreciate you supporting my podcast. I'm going to do a couple separate little ones this week because of all the things going on in sports. You know, we got big golf stuff coming up with the Masters in a week. We have the NCAA Final Four for the women's and the men's. I want to do one on that and discuss that. And also want to discuss my Yankees off to a 5-1 start, which I'm a little surprised myself with Gerrit Cole on the bench. But, hey, we'll take it. Anyway, thank you for listening. I certainly appreciate it. Don't forget to watch NCAA Bowling Championship starting tomorrow, April 4th. NCAA.com is where you can see all the matches, and I really hope you'll tune in and watch because they're really cool, and you'll really get to see some quality bowling. So I'm looking forward to it myself. Thank you for listening. Putting in the Gutter. You can find it on all your favorite podcast sites, and I'll see you next time. Thank you very much. Bye.